You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As just mentioned, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. The resource of the month, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity by Joe Dallas. I cannot think of a more relevant topic in our time. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, where he says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." So remember our gay and lesbian friends, our loved ones, our co-workers, our fellow citizens may not respond to truth as we'd want them to, but they can at least come to a better understanding of our position, especially as we in turn come to better understand them. This is about relationship. That alone, and the goodwill it generates, can make this kind of a dialogue, speaking of homosexuality, that kind of a dialogue worth the effort. What an honor you and I have to seek and discover God's heart and mind as revealed in His Word. And because the Bible is so key to the discussion, you need to begin by remembering that we're commissioned to learn the truth, but more than that, to live the truth, to express the truth and the heart it reflects to whoever will hear. Our goal is to reach, never to repel. I think it's instructive to note that it's only been about a year ago that the U.S. Supreme Court struck down state laws limiting the definition of marriage to a heterosexual union. And while there's no understanding the significance of the decision, what followed on Pennsylvania Avenue signaled a seismic paradigm shift in context as well as in law. The president, who was celebrating the Supreme Court decision, remember, he had the White House bathed in rainbow-colored lights, announcing that the world's most powerful leader felt the redefinition of marriage ought to be heralded at the highest level of government. And an unmistakable message was sent to everyone with traditional views. That message, we've turned a corner, and therefore from now on, your viewpoint will not only be considered the minority viewpoint, but will require a defense as well. So change or explain yourself. And it's in the context of that national shift of perspective that we're now speaking of homosexuality or discussing the issues with the operative words in the subtitle of Joe's book, with kindness and clarity. Again, the resource, speaking of homosexuality, available for those who support the ministry. You can get your copy on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Daryl, listening in Springfield, Missouri. He's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, I'm a follower of Christ, so is my brother. I'm Baptist, he's Catholic. And my mother, we grew up Methodist, and she's a follower of Christ as well. But she's in her mid-70s, and she is wanting me to guarantee her as her oldest son that when she passes away, I will have her cremated. My question is, if she's cremated, will she still, you know, go up in the rapture with Jesus? And if her remains are scattered, will she still go up?
Well, I think what's important to, what's important to realize is that when Jesus appears a second time, all who are in the graves will come out, Jesus said. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So God can resurrect the cremated just as he can resurrect the buried. There's no problem with that whatsoever. And I would add that when we talk about resurrection, it's not as though we're talking about every atom being resuscitated. It's simply a way of saying that there's continuity between the body that is and the body that will be. The point of burial vis-a-vis cremation is that burial better expresses the idea of physical resurrection. So it is a testimony, it is a word picture, as it were, of the resurrection that will take place when Jesus appears a second time. But whether you're cremated, whether you died many, many years ago, and you've returned back to dust, whatever the case is, God will resurrect everyone who has lived on this planet.
Okay, well, with what the Pope had just recently said, the change he made about, you know, if you're cremated, you must still be buried in a holy place as a cemetery or something like that, and you cannot, your ashes cannot be divided or anything like that. That's what proned me to ask this question, because of his him making that change.
Well, and again, here is the biblical point of view. Burial highlights the sanctity of the body. So in a Christian worldview, in a biblical worldview, the body is significant in that it has numerical identity to the resurrected body. The body that dies is the same body that will be raised. And therefore, while God has no problem resurrecting the cremated, cremation does not point to the resurrection of God. So I have often said, if someone cremates for ecological reasons or economic reasons, I can understand that. But if you do that as a believer, you have to go to extra lengths to really underscore the idea of physical resurrection, because that is the capstone, as it were. It is the centerpiece of the Christian faith. Christ rose bodily from the dead, and we too will rise bodily. So there's a metamorphosis that takes place, because when we are resurrected, we're resurrected not mortal, but immortal, not perishable, but imperishable, not corruptible, but incorruptible. So a metamorphosis takes place in much the same way that a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. But the blueprint for your glorified body is in the body you now possess. There's continuity between the two, just as there is continuity between the caterpillar and the butterfly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Hank. That answered my question. Thank you.
You got it. And again, I want to underscore that Scripture clearly favors burial over cremation. The Old Testament pattern has always been burial, except in highly unusual circumstances. And in the same way in the New Testament, Paul equated baptism with both burial and resurrection. Burial, as I said, symbolizes the promise of resurrection by anticipating the preservation of the body. Cremation, however, better symbolizes the pagan worldview of reincarnation. So while resurrectionists look forward to the restoration of the body, reincarnationists look forward to being relieved from their bodies. Again, I should underscore the fact, however, that God has no problem whatsoever resurrecting the cremated. So again, if you're being cremated for economic or emotional or ecological considerations, you want to make sure, if you are a Christian, that the gospel which hinges on resurrection is very clearly communicated. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Matthew, listening in Spring, Texas, on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Dr. Hanegraaff. Love the program, buddy.
Thank you.
I'll make this quick, and then I'll hang up and listen to your answer. We're doing a Bible study for our Sunday school group, and we're talking about covenant relationships and covenant relationships with Abram and God's covenant with Abraham. And I guess my question whenever we were talking about the flood in Genesis was, could everybody really have been bad, like even the babies and the children? I understand adults and teenagers, but I guess we kind of got hung up on the on babies in the time. Could they have been bad? I'll let you talk and listen to the program, and thanks for everything you do.
Sure. I think one of the epic stories in the Bible, of course, is in Genesis chapter 6, where civilization has devolved to the point that God is weary of the evil in civilization, and for the good of humanity, wipes out those people who are living at the time of Noah, such that Noah, only 8 people along with Noah, including Noah, were saved in the midst of the waters of the flood. So in any kind of a casualty, whether it's war, whether it's a natural disaster, you know, there are young kids that die in that natural disaster, in that war, whatever the circumstance might be. And it's horrifying to think about those young children dying. But what we have to do ultimately is leave everyone, including the youngest among us, in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, which is to say that though we cannot account for every single converging factor, we know that God can. And so in the midst of calamity and tragedy, we don't always try to answer the question why, but we learn to trust God in the midst of our whys, knowing that in the greatest size, every single person will be judged with a righteous as well as a loving sentence, such that we can, well, we can rejoice in God's mercy as well as in His justice. So we leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. Let me say something real quickly about the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you are hearing us on radio, whether satellite radio or terrestrial radio, but you can also listen to us on CRI's Equip app. If you have not downloaded the Equip app, you can do that free of charge, equip.org/app. And the app not only allows you to listen to live broadcasts, but it allows you to listen to archived broadcasts. More than that, you can read hundreds of articles from the Christian Research Journal. You can support the ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the app. So just go to equip.org/app. And as we get towards the end of this month, let me make a financial appeal before we go to break. This ministry is supported by listeners just like you. Without you, I cannot do what I do. And I can tell you, over the summer months, we built up some very significant deficits. This month was going along quite well, but again, we're sort of not finishing the month well, so we're behind financially. And the only way we can catch that up is when people who have some of the Lord's resources are willing to invest those resources in the ministry. And so I'm simply asking you, as you're led by the Holy Spirit in prayer, to do just that. I don't want you to give in the sense of getting something, whether it's a resource, but with a grateful heart and a recognition that when you give, you're giving for the extension of God's kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Some of you hear the Bible Answer Man broadcast and do not realize that we have a worldwide ministry. It's impacting people on all five continents in a very significant way. So when you become a CRI support team member, what you do is you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its outreaches around the world with your ongoing support. In appreciation, what I do is I personalize a copy of any one of my books as you request them to you, to a family member, or a friend. To join CRI's monthly support team, well, it's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Also, remember that Speaking of Homosexuality is available for those who support the ministry as well with their monthly donation this month. So you can check all of that out on the web at equip.org. And we're going to be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
Few, if any, could have predicted it. Yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back right after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you.
about Joe Dallas and his new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity, Hank Hanegraaff says, "No one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than my friend Joe Dallas. This book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization." Hank would like to send you Joe's book as our thank you for your support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are going right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lisa, listening in British Columbia, Canada, on KARI. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Hank. It's great to be able to get through so easily today, and just want to thank you for your clear voice in the midst of the turmoil in the world today. But my question is basically on the issue of the pervasiveness of pornography, on how it's impacted my family. I've heard a few different perspectives. I've kind of sought out some help. We are a Christian family, by the way, and it's my son that my concern is for. But one of the things is you're probably familiar with Focus on the Family. Recently, I've heard kind of like a stat or whatever regarding boys as young as 8 to 10. Years of age being their first exposure to pornography, and that is basically fits into the case of our son, that it was through a neighbor going to a neighbor's house and being first exposed there, and then him having that battle and him feeling so ashamed about that he never ever told myself or like myself being the mom and his father until he was later on in years. So now he's basically 18. So it's been quite a number of years that he's been battling this. He has sought help through our church, through good leaders there. And basically the advice that he's been getting is to have an accountability partner, or there has been a suggestion. There's something called Freedom Session. I think it's like a 12-step program kind of idea that's been suggested. And one of my concerns, too, into my question is about generational sin, where my husband also has had this in his background, which hasn't been a big help, obviously. But so it's a big concern, and I'm just wondering about your perspective. I've also heard of a person needs to replace the pornography sin with good instead, to replace it with something else. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I think, first of all, it's good that there is the search for accountability. And I've often said that Joe Dallas has written the best book on the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. This is not a magical kind of a cure. It is a very systematic, well-thought-out cure for attaining sexual integrity. The book is actually called The Game Plan, and it has helped a lot of people over the years. So that's the first thing that I would recommend to you. The second thing that I would say is, it's good that he's seeking help, and it is good that you replace the bad with the good. But again, that's easier said than done, because this is a horribly addictive behavior. And of course, conditions people to view others as objects of self-gratification. And the Lord, of course, is very, very clear that we ought to guard our gaze. It's sort of like marijuana. Marijuana is a precursor to experimenting with even more dangerous substances, and in the same way, pornography often leads to increasingly degrading sexual behavior. But the good news is that even the strongest addiction to pornography can be overcome by taking the practical steps that you alluded to remove the temptation. And that starts by establishing an accountability structure, because if you do not have that, the addiction will overwhelm your best intentions every single time. So you have to have this accountability structure, and you have to learn how to put on the full armor of God, which you find in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I wrote a book about that called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. The reason I wrote that little book, which you can read in an hour, it's a pretty short little moniker, but the book itself, or monograph, the book itself is a book that teaches you not only the pieces of the armor, but what they represent. If you put on the covering or the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. When you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. In terms of a generational kind of curse being passed down, I don't think that that is what's going on. Certainly, there are consequences to the sins of the fathers visited on the children, which is to say, if a father indulges in pornography, there's oftentimes an open avenue for the child to do so as well. But more likely in today's age, when kids have computer tablets or computers or cell phones, the kinds of things that are available to kids are just mind-boggling. Even when they go to a sports page, the things that are available are simply incredible. And so I think there has to be a real guardianship on the part of the parent today to try to preclude this, because, you know, your son is not a bad person in the sense that he's into pornography. I mean, this is a natural kind of addiction when you get exposed to it. And it is a very dangerous addiction on all levels. Now, all of us are sinners, but I'm just saying that the addiction is palpable, and a lot of people are struggling with it today. So I think the game plan that I talked about earlier is a very, very helpful antidote. I mean, it will give you everything that's necessary if someone is really serious to overcome the addiction to pornography and to establish or attain sexual integrity.
Thank you for all of your insights there. I really appreciate it. I certainly... sounds like those resources would be very, very helpful. I know, yeah, as you said, it's a spiritual warfare battle within himself, but also I think as family members to support him in that. And I'm finding just to keep the door of communication open is vital. So also the acceptance there is vital. Acceptance of him as a person, right, and as my son. So
absolutely, absolutely, yes. Yeah, you're in the battle together.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines from Lisa to Lori. Lori's in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about Isaiah 7:14, specifically the part where they're referencing the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. I've always believed that that was prophecy and pointed to the virgin birth of Christ, but recently another believer has shared his interpretation that it might actually be referencing a virgin birth before Christ.
And well, not a virgin birth before Christ, but the virgin will give birth to a child, and that does not mean a virgin in the sense of someone who has never had relationships with a man. So here's what's going on. It's really interesting because if you look at what Matthew does, Matthew recognizes a historical pattern of events that finds quintessential fulfillment in the miraculous birth of Messiah. So if you look at the precursor or the type, it happens in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's wife gave birth to Mahar Shalah Hazbaz in a fashion common to all humanity. Thus, though she did not give birth as a virgin, Mary most certainly did. So again, what Matthew sees is a historical pattern of events that finds quintessential fulfillment in a miraculous virgin birth with respect to Messiah. But if you look at the historical context of Isaiah chapter 7, well, you have Ahaz. He's the monarch of the tiny kingdom of Judah. He's shaken because there are two superpowers on his northern flank. One is Rezin of Syria, and the other is Pekah of Israel. So these two kings, these two superpowers, are plotting his ruin. And so what God does is he provides a sign guaranteeing that those two kings would come to ruin. And the way he does that is by saying the virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Well, of course, what God promises comes to pass. Isaiah went to the prophetess. She conceived. She gave birth to a son. And before the boy knew how to say, my father or my mother, both of those superpowers, Syria and Samaria, were laid waste by, happened to be the Assyrians. Well, 700 years after faithless Ahaz, Matthew saw the temporary salvation of Judah as a type of the eternal salvation that God's people would experience through Jesus Christ, who is quite literally born of a virgin.
Okay, and I have found that, like, there's different interpretations of what that Hebrew translation means. But
well,
the way I'm understanding this person is that they're really believing that maybe there was a virgin birth.
No. The Hebrew word Alma has nothing to do with virginity. And it's wholly irrelevant to the discussion. Because what this has to do with is prophecy, but it's typological prophecy, which sees historical correspondence, but a heightened factor in the antitype. So in the type, you have a birth in the normal course of how human beings give birth. In the antitype, you have an intensification where you have a literal virgin birth.
Okay.
By the way, let me say, Lori, I've written about this under a section in my book, Has God Spoken, where I talk about the splendor of typological prophecy. Predictive prophecy is fairly straightforward. So if you think about Micah 5:2, when Herod asked the chief priests and the teachers of the law where Christ was to be born, they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, for that is what the prophet has written. Typological prophecy is somewhat more complex, but once you grapple with it, you will start seeing a pattern of beauty in the Bible that cannot be conceived of otherwise. And that's why I wrote about typological prophecy in my book, Has God Spoken, that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions and with the quote of the day. You don't want to miss it. Be right back.
Gay affirming interpretations of the Bible promoted by revisionist Christians, whether heterosexual or openly gay, challenge long-standing Orthodox beliefs about the sinfulness of homosexuality. According to revisionists, the authority of the Bible has not changed, but its message on homosexuality has been mistranslated or misinterpreted. In his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Joe Dallas addresses the gay Christian phenomenon and its revisionism with the careful attention it requires. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. A
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago. And the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. When a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from J.I. Packer, and he is certainly a quotable Christian leader. He once said that the Bible appears like a symphony orchestra with the Holy Ghost as its Toscanini. Each instrument has been brought willingly, spontaneously, creatively to play his notes just as the great conductor desired, though none of them could ever hear the music as a whole. I couldn't help but think of how appropriate that quote is to the last call I took just before the break. I love the virgin birth prophecy of Isaiah. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. As far as he was concerned, Isaiah knew that this is the quintessential expression of something bigger than what was just happening to him, what would happen in the future, because you have Isaiah 7 fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 8. As I said before the break, the Hebrew word Alma in Isaiah's prophecy had nothing to do with virginity. It simply designated a young woman of marriageable age. If Isaiah had had virginity in mind, he would have used the Hebrew word betula. Not only so, but context precluded the possibility that Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah did not prophesy a virgin birth. He prophesied that the birth of his son, Mahar Shalah Hasbaz, was a sign guaranteeing God's temporal salvation of Judah in danger of being destroyed by two superpowers to the north. So the meaning of Alma, which is brought up quite a bit in this discussion, is in essence a red herring. But here's the beauty of the symphony. The Jewish gospel writer Matthew saw a historical pattern of events surrounding the birth of Isaiah's son that finds quintessential fulfillment in a corresponding historical pattern surrounding the birth of Emmanuel. So, while Isaiah's wife gave birth to Mahar Shalah Hasbaz in the fashion common to all of humanity, the historical pattern reached a climax in the virgin birth of Messiah. And thus, while Isaiah's wife did not give birth as a virgin, Mary most certainly did. Again, when you get into typological prophecy, a splendor of Scripture unfolds before your eyes that is simply breathtaking. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Terry next. He's listening in Waterloo, New England, on Bot Radio. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm calling today about, have you ever heard of Herbert W. Armstrong?
Yes. Now, he died back in 1986, and I knew those men that succeeded him, Joseph DeKotch, and then Joseph DeKotch Jr. In fact, I had the privilege of writing the foreword to Joseph DeKotch Jr.'s book, Transformed by Truth, because Armstrongism, as he recognized, was a full-blown cult. And what Joseph DeKotch Jr. did was lead the worldwide Church of God out of cultism into true Christianity. So he denied all the cultic doctrines of Armstrong and affirmed the essentials of the historic Christian faith. The worldwide Church of God denied the doctrine of the Trinity. They believed that as a believer, you could become part of the Godhead in eternity. They rejected the two natures of Jesus Christ. They denied the personality of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they rejected justification by faith alone, rejecting the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. They denied eternal conscious punishment for the unsaved. They held to a view called annihilationism. They promoted this really weird and wacky idea of Anglo-Israelism, which is the idea that the Western and Northern Europeans are the direct descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. In terms of their legalism, they required observance of Saturday Sabbath, and they're very, very legalistic in other ways as well, including dietary laws and works righteousness. So this was a full-blown cult, but this was one of the great examples in our epoch of time of a cult coming to Christ. One of the big challenges, of course, that Joseph DeKotch Jr. had was reaching the very people that were in the cult as opposed to galvanizing them around the doctrines of Armstrong. So it was a very significant task, but I have had the testimonies of literally hundreds of people over the years who have thanked us for being involved in that process with Joseph DeCotch Jr.
So the books that was written, the United States and Britain and Bible Prophecy, are pretty much phony.
All his books were. Mystery of the Ages, it was a fairly systematic exposition of these doctrines that I just mentioned. And they were involved in all kinds of false prophetic utterances.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Hank. I appreciate you getting me real clear on that, because I was kind of confused on some of that, because it seemed a lot of it, they were having a lot of Bible to back it, and it was pretty confusing. But I since have decided that it was wrong. Thank you very much.
You got it. And they were very, very confusing, and that's the problem. I mean, unless you become very conversant with the essentials, it is so easy to buy into the counterfeit. So the goal for all of us as Christians is to become so familiar with the real that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Letitia in Chicago, Illinois. Letitia's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Letitia.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call. I truly, truly enjoy your show, and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you.
Earlier in the week, I was listening. I always listen to the Christian channel here in Chicago, and I did not get the pastor's name, but he was talking about how when we pray that we should address our prayers only to God the Father and not to Jesus. And I was wondering, is that correct? Is there any scripture that tells us not to pray to Jesus? Is it okay to pray to him?
Well, of course. I mean, we believe in one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. So within the Godhead, there are loving relationships between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the mystery of salvation is not only that we're saved into the death of Jesus Christ, but we're saved into the life of God, which is to say that we're brought into the Trinity. Now, that does not mean that we share the nature of God as God is in the Godhead, but we are brought into that love relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And being in that relationship means that we can speak with the Father, but we can likewise speak with the Son. And there's all kinds of biblical precedent for doing that very thing. For example, if you look at John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me," said Jesus, "for anything in my name, and I will do it." And of course, that is qualified by, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." But the point here is simply that we can obviously pray to the Son. The biblical precedent is in the Bible itself. We can also pray to the Holy Spirit, and I certainly do that myself in prayer, thanking the Holy Spirit for not only being my counselor, but for giving me wisdom. As I do the broadcast every single day, I spend time in prayer before I do the broadcast. I never miss. At this point, I don't feel like I can do the broadcast without spending that time in prayer. But when I pray, I always pray not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And I say, "Precious Holy Spirit, give me the ability to do what I can't do on my own. Help me touch lives in a way that I'm incapable of doing by myself." So I am addressing the Holy Spirit in prayer, just as I'm addressing our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. But my pattern of prayer is always, well, I start praying a prayer that's called the Jesus Prayer, which is another story, but it is a way of me expressing my deep love for God and expressing my neediness as a sinner. And then I pray what I call a facts prayer. It's just an acronym where I first express my faith in God, my adoration for God. I confess my sins. I thank God for his many blessings. And then I bring my supplications. But I also pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer, I don't just pray as rote, but every single one of the petitions is something that becomes a launching point for me to pray about other things. So if I pray as Jesus taught me to pray, I would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So what do I do then as I pray that the Lord would allow the way I conduct myself on the air and otherwise to bring glory, to hallow his name? There's much more that could be said. Thy kingdom come. This is not about my kingdom. It is about thy kingdom. Thank you for allowing me to be a co-consummator of the kingdom. May I be faithful in that task. So I'm praying as the Lord taught me to pray every single day as well by specifically addressing the Father. But having said all of that, remember what I started out saying, and that is each person within the Godhead is a person that we have a loving relationship with. So we only have one God, but within the Godhead there are three centers of consciousness. Identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead, and we can address each person within the Godhead and deepen our relationship with each person within the Godhead. So this is one of the great privileges of prayer. See you next week with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Today, the gay rights movement is no longer content with mere tolerance, but rather demands wholehearted affirmation or punishment for those who don't comply. Responding to this totalitarian agenda with gentleness requires an informed and caring approach. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, as our thanks for your gift of support in the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call 888-7000-CRI or write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or donate online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI.
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org.